A reading from the Acts of the Apostles. When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all gathered together. Suddenly from the sky, there was a noise like a strong driving wind that filled the whole house where they sat. There appeared to them tongues as of fire that parted out and came to rest on each of them. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues and to proclaim according to the promptings of the Holy Spirit. Now there were living in Jerusalem devout people, Jews of every nation under heaven, who on hearing the sound gathered in a crowd, but they were confused because each one heard the speakers in his own language. This astounded them, and they asked in amazement, "Aren't these men who are speaking all Galileans? How is it then that each of us hears them in his own native tongue? We are Parthians, Medes, Elamites, inhabitants of Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia and Pontus and Asia, and Phrygia and Pamphylia, of Egypt and of regions of Libya around Cyrene, even visitors from Rome, all Jews or Jewish converts, Cretans and Arabs too. And yet we hear them speaking in our own tongues about the great things which God has done." Alleluia, alleluia. Send forth your spirit, and they shall be created, and you shall renew the face of the earth. Alleluia. Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of your faithful, and kindle in them the fire of your love. The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. At that time, Jesus said to his disciples, "If anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and then my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our dwelling place with him. Whoever does not love me does not keep my words, yet the word that you hear is not my own, but comes from the Father who sent me. All this I have spoken to you during my stay with you, but the Paraclete, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you everything and remind you of all that I told you myself. Peace is my farewell to you. My peace is my gift to you. I do not give it to you as the world gives it. Do not let your hearts be troubled or fearful. You have heard me say to you, I am going away and I am coming back to you. If you love me, you would rejoice to have me go to the Father, for the Father is greater than I. But I have told you this now before it happens, so that when it does happen, you may believe. I shall no longer speak at length with you, for the prince of this world is coming. Actually, he has no hold on me, but the world must recognize that I love the Father and that I do exactly as the Father has commanded me." The Gospel of the Lord. Good morning, everyone. If we could start with our prayer for vocations. It's also in your order of worship. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Let us ask God to give worthy priests, brothers, and sisters to his holy church. O God, we earnestly beseech thee to bless this diocese with many priests, brothers, and sisters who will love thee with their whole strength and gladly spend their entire lives to serve thy church and to make thee known and loved. Bless our families, bless our children. Choose from our homes those who are needed for thy work. Mary, Queen of the Clergy, pray for us. Pray for our priests and religious. Obtain for us many more. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Once again, good morning, everyone. A couple of announcements today. Nurse Mary Williams will be taking blood pressure readings in the narthex after Mass today. And also, next Sunday is my 30th anniversary as a priest, so there'll be cake here next Sunday. So we look forward to that. Juice and coffee will be after this Mass and the next Mass as we celebrate this. Now look at the size of that print for the announcements, okay? I'm going to move on to this size print. And because I turned 60 this year, I'm putting on my $2 magnifying glasses to read it, okay? It's these things happen. All right. So here we are at Pentecost. You know, I thought a lot of things I wanted to talk about today. But I think, something's happening in the world right now. And we can see all around us, evil seems to be ramping up even more. I mean, how can we say that could even be possible? But at the same time, there's this counter movement that's going on in the world right now. People rising up to stand against evil. See, this was the problem up until now, okay? And I actually see, too, that evil seems to be overreaching in our times. The fresh example is coming to the defense of MS-13, it's crazy right now. It's crazy right now. But I want to point to some, I think, significant things. And today I really wanted to point to something that Archbishop Cordeleon from San Francisco, I think many of you saw that he's a great proponent of the traditional Latin Mass. He just had a beautiful one that we all witnessed online, those of you who watched that. But he did something pretty amazing last year on October 7th, but I want to lead up to that a little bit first, just to kind of lay the groundwork of what's going on in our culture. Some of this will be a refresher for us, but there are particulars that I think not everybody is aware of. So, it was on Witches' Night, April 30th, 1966. And this was exactly 50 years from the angel's appearance to the children in Fatima in 1916. Anton LaVey founded the First Church of Satan in San Francisco, California. Required reading for members was the Satanic Bible. The central theme of the Satanic Bible is, "Do what thou wilt shall be the whole of the law." Of course, this stands in direct opposition to the very last words uttered by the Blessed Mother, "Do whatever he tells you." The following summer, the hippie movement and its iconic sexual revolution exploded onto the world scene when in 1967, the Summer of Love, as it was called, saw 100,000 people converged on Haight-Ashbury neighborhood of San Francisco. In fact, the song San Francisco by the Mamas and Papas, depicting the Summer of Love, was released on May 13th, 1967, the exact 50th anniversary of Our Lady's first appearance at Fatima. Charlie Manson and his murderous cult following grew out of this Summer of Love event in San Francisco. So while the rumblings of a man-centered, God-maligning spirit was everywhere, the volcanic eruption occurred in San Francisco at this 50-year mark since the appearance of the angel and Our Lady in Fatima. Although hippies also gathered in major cities around the U.S., Canada, and Europe, San Francisco remained the epicenter of the hippie movement and the sexual revolution. The city became even more of a melting pot of politics, drugs, and the total lack of sexual and social inhibition that it already was. As this hippie countercultural movement came forward into public awareness, the activities centered therein, became a defining moment of the 1960s, causing numerous ordinary citizens to begin to question everything and anything as a result. Similar to that of the Protestant Revolution in 1517, exactly 500 years ago from the 100th anniversary of Fatima, scores of Catholics would leave the church. Priestly and religious vocations would dry up. Mass attendance would sharply decline. Catholic clergy and laity would no longer be on the same page in terms of belief and behavior. And as for many churchgoers, there would remain
that would remain, their morals and lifestyle would prove to be comparable to non-Catholics. So then we fast forward to this past October 7th. And if you recall, as wildfires were raging throughout the Archdiocese of San Francisco during that time, this holy and orthodox Archbishop Corleone, a name which actually means the heart of a lion, and he was a strong supporter of the traditional Latin Mass, chose the feast of Our Lady of Victory, or Our Lady of the Rosary, 7 October 2017, to consecrate the Archdiocese of San Francisco to the Immaculate Heart of Mary. In his monumental homily entitled, Fatima, A Call to Spiritual Arms for the Salvation and Peace of the World, Archbishop Corleone gives us the battle plan to reverse the curse of a nation under the spell of a satanic, do what thou wilt, man-centered cult that erupted in the 1960s in San Francisco. So if you get a chance, you know, you can email me if you forget the title, or just if you can look online, read that homily. But right now, I just want to give you kind of the essence of what Archbishop Corleone wrote in that homily. He writes, for 100 years, we ignored the message of Fatima. Or perhaps it is not so much the message we ignored, for we are all well aware of the warnings and the history that resulted. Rather, it is the requests we ignored. But we cannot afford to do so any longer. We have to pay attention. We have to do what she told the waiters at Cana. Do whatever he tells you. And what does Christ tell us to do? He reveals this in the requests Our Lady made at Fatima. It is now the time to heed those requests. We might not have the power to change world history, but we can change what happens in our own families and communities. If we heed the message, this next century can be radically different from the last one. But only if we heed the message and respond to the requests. Which means that what we are doing today, consecrating San Francisco to the Immaculate Heart of Mary, cannot be relegated to being simply a moving event or a pleasant memory in the history of our archdiocese. Far from being something we check off on a to-do list, what we are about to do today is nothing less than a call to arms, to spiritual arms, which will elevate the spiritual, or alleviate the spiritual disease that it is at the root of so much of this physical and mental suffering in the world today. It is time to leave the sensational aside and respond to the requests of Our Lady of Fatima. What did she ask us to do? It should come of no surprise, because it is a central part of her message wherever and whenever she appears. Prayer, penance, and adoration. And she was very clear at Fatima about the twofold purpose of this request: to save souls from hell and to establish peace in the world. The message of Fatima was not only about the temporal order, but above all, the eternal order. In both orders, the stakes could not be higher: world peace and eternal salvation. Therefore, I call on all the faithful in the Archdiocese of San Francisco to take heart this threefold recipe for peace and salvation, as Our Lady has asked us. So notice how, close quote, by the way. So notice how Archbishop Corleone does not waste time pinpointing the do what thou wilt satanic spirit ushered through his archdiocese to the world by drawing great attention to Mary's words that crush the satanic lies. Mary said, "Do whatever he tells you. Do what thou wilt disconnects us from the power of the Holy Spirit. Do whatever he tells you cleaves us to the vine and opens wide the flow of supernatural grace in our lives." You know, as I was preparing for today, I thought, oh, gee, you get me on Pentecost, meaning you get a low mass. And I thought, oh, you know, because I haven't mastered the high mass yet, and I'm going to work on it this summer. But I thought, oh. But then I thought, you know, as I pondered what happened that day, he came in the room even though the doors were locked. And they were all abuzz about, he's like, "Peace be with you." Remember? "Peace be with you." Have you ever noticed how many times the peace of God is offered through the holy sacrifice of the Mass? "Peace be with you." You see, it's that kind of peace, that kind of settled, ready to receive, that open heart that makes it possible for the Holy Spirit to enter our lives. I don't know if you've had the opportunity to read the book by Cardinal Seurat, The Power of Silence. But he says this: "Why are men so noisy during the liturgies while Christ's prayer was silent? The words of the Son of God come from the heart, and the heart is silent. Why do we not know how to speak with a silent heart? The heart of Jesus does not speak. It radiates with love because its language comes from the divine depths." Later he says, "This age detests the things that silence brings us to encounter: wonder and kneeling before God. Through silence," he says in another place, "we return to our heavenly origin, where there is nothing but calm, peace, repose, silent contemplation, and adoration of the radiant face of God." You know, when people have not experienced the traditional Latin Mass, whether a high Mass or a low Mass, the way I prepare them for it is, first of all, I ask them, do you do Eucharistic adoration? You know, 99.9% of the time they say yes. I said, approach it like that. You know, that here we are in the awesome presence of God. And you're going to experience much more silences during this Mass. And I believe that through the century, that those silences are part of the key features of what the Latin Mass offers us. All week long, we're busy and we're surrounded by noise and so much vies for our attention. And if we're not careful, that can keep us living a very superficial, surface level life where we never seem to find the time to stop and go deep into our hearts to encounter God. You know, it's in that place. And that's why he said, this age detests the things that silence brings to us: encounter, wonder, and kneeling before God. I agree with that, because I think if we stop and we look deeply, okay, we're going to encounter God. First of all, we're going to have sorrow for our sins, okay, because we're going to take a little closer look at the ways in which we have offended the one that we love so much. See, we love much in that deep place. Living on the surface, a superficial life, God can become so much of an acquaintance to us.
someone that we meet in passing. You know, someone that we blurt out prayers to as we go on to the next fast-paced whatever in our lives. And so I think when people fall in love with the Mass, particularly the traditional Latin Mass, it's because it aids them in coming to meet the Lord, to have that encounter with Him. And so this age doesn't like that. Why? Because I don't want to look at my sins. And you know what else I don't want to do? More for God. Because not only does it help us to understand the ways that we offend Him, but the ways that we are not living our lives as profoundly for Him. We say to ourselves, I can do so much more for You, Lord. I love You so much. You set me into existence. For what purpose? Mine? No, Yours. Yours. And so we see what Archbishop Corleone is getting at. You know, prayer, penance, and adoration. Prayer, we want to talk with God. He particularly raises up the rosary. That's a belief in the power of God. And it's an act of obedience. God has revealed to us through the Blessed Mother this mighty prayer. So do it. Don't question it. Don't make up your own prayer. Do it God's way. Penance. Of course, acts of penance strengthen that prayer. It says, I'm begging. I'm serious about this prayer. Here, I'm adding penance to it. Jesus said, these demon spirits are so strong, we better add some fasting to this prayer, all right? But also it points to the sacrament of confession that says, create a clean heart in me, O God, so that Your Holy Spirit can rest in a fitting place. And we say this in this whenever I get to this subject, we'll never be perfect in this life, but with the words of consecration, we are perfectly pure in that moment. And the Holy Spirit finds a ready vessel. And then adoration, again. Are we afraid of silence? Do we squirm with silence? Would we rather not stop and think about the things that we do to offend God and the things that we aren't doing with our life to praise and glorify God? The world detests that, not us. Not us. Bring it on. Give me more silence. Give me more opportunities to have that encounter and that wonder and that love. And so we hear our Pentecost Sunday. Yesterday I had Mass in the morning, and it was the last words of John's Gospel. Okay? This act of salvation is coming to this crescendo moment. You know, with rock bands? No. With silence and peace, as we say, come, Holy Spirit, enkindle us with the fire of Your love.